I'm so excited to have the opportunity to dig into God's Word with you for a few moments today. In a moment or two, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. If you want to find that, please do so. While you're finding it, I want to just ask you, do you have one of these in your home? In almost every home in America, there are these little devices that can be both amazing and frustrating all at the same time. They often reside on our coffee table or end table. They frequently get lost amongst the pillows and cushions of furniture. They're amazing because they give whoever has this little thing in their hand the ability to control an electronic device, usually a TV. They're frustrating because if this is not in your hand and it's in somebody else's, you have no control and they do. Now, I think that in most homes, there are some interesting conversations and even some conflict that revolves around who has control of the remote control. I know in our family, when our kids were still at home, there were certain individuals, I won't name any names, but there were certain individuals who wanted control of the remote control so badly that they would hide it so nobody else could find it and change the channel. And there were certain individuals that were even known to take the remote control with them when they left the room so nobody could change the channel while they were gone. Now, I won't even begin to name who is responsible for that kind of treachery. I'll let you guess. But I suspect that you have your own war stories regarding who wants control of the remote control in your house. I wonder if the battles that we have over who controls the remote control in our homes are symbolic of some of the battles that go on in our society at large. It's no secret that almost all of us love being in control. You would probably say, like so many other people would say, that one of the most difficult aspects of this COVID-19 issue is realizing that so many things are out of our control. When everything first hit the fan, we discovered that we were living with this illusion of control over certain areas of our life, and we were shocked. We were uncertain when things started feeling out of control. Well, you know what happens when things feel out of control? There's a battle. People start fighting for who is going to control. And in our world today, it seems like everyone and everything is fighting for control. Now, I'm grateful that in some things we have a voice, we have a vote. And we should use our voice, we should use our vote to stand up for principles and truth and faith. We've been talking about it over the weekends here at Grace Point that we should, in a Christ-like way, use our voice and use our vote to stand for truth, to stand for faith, to stand for biblical principles, and that we should do it with a spirit of humility. But friends, I want to remind you this morning that there is a fight for control going on, not just in Washington, D.C., not just for the White House, but there is a fight for control happening in every heart and in every home. Now listen closely to me. In your heart, which we're talking about as your emotions, your mind, your soul, you don't have just a voice, you don't have just a vote. You have the opportunity to determine who is in control. In your home, you don't have just a voice, you don't have just a vote. You have the opportunity to determine who is in control. Scripture says, ground zero for the battle of control happens in every human heart. This scripture that I mentioned to you earlier, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it's such a powerful verse, and it's on the screen if you don't have it in front of you. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I would challenge you just to read that out loud with me one more time. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The heart, our mind, our emotions, our soul. It's the hub of life. Everything we experience is processed through our hearts, the good and the bad. Life comes at us from all directions, but it gets channeled through our hearts. One author said, "The heart seeps into every conversation. It dictates every relationship. Our lives emanate from the heart. We live, parent, lead, relate, romance, confront, react, respond, instruct, manage, problem solve, and love all from our heart. Our hearts impact the intensity of our communication. Our hearts have the potential to exaggerate our sensitivities and insensitivities. Every arena of life intersects with what's going on in the heart. Everything passes through it on its way to wherever else it's going." Friends, the fight for control of our family and our community and all of our society begins in our individual hearts. Remember, Scripture's challenge is guard your heart. Guard your heart above all else. Make it a priority because it determines the course of your life. During this month of November, we are going to focus on this fight for control of our heart. And there are some things that can easily take over control of what's going on inside of us. Things like fear, anger, guilt, greed, jealousy. We're going to focus on one of these enemies of the heart each weekend during November. And today, we're going to talk for a moment about fighting for control when it comes to fear. I saw a headline recently that declared, "The world is united in fear." That's a happy headline, isn't it? Interestingly enough, the article that talked about the world being united in fear instantly talked about how in different parts of the world and in different parts of the United States, certain fears are predominant. And so my takeaway from the article was this: we are united in fear, but we are divided about what to be afraid of. There's no question that we live in a world filled with fear. Some of it's very real, and some of it's imagined. Frankly, this issue of fear being predominant in the world is not new. Fear is and always has been a dominating theme in our world since the Garden of Eden. And we're going to talk about how you and I can live not being controlled by fear. But before we go there, I just need to remind you that there is such a thing as healthy, constructive fear. A healthy fear can keep a child from running out into the road and getting hit by a car. A healthy fear can keep an adult from smoking 3 packs of cigarettes every hour, every day, and getting lung cancer. A healthy fear could help us respond to a pit bull that's growling at us or a building that's burning down. There is such a thing as healthy, constructive fear. But this thing called fear can quickly devolve into something unhealthy and destructive. It's easy to let fear control us. Whenever that happens, our life becomes based on what we're scared of rather than based on faith and based on truth. Jesus knew that there were many things in this world that would cause fear in the human heart. That's why in all of his teaching, Jesus would mention the issue of fear. And 21 times he issues the challenge to don't be afraid or fear not or take courage or be of good cheer. He says that fear may fill our world, but it doesn't have to fill our hearts. I love that statement from Max Lucado. Fear may fill our world, but it doesn't have to fill our hearts. So when we think about fighting for control, to keep fear from being the dominating force of our life, what do we need to know? How do we get back control from fear of our hearts? How do we keep fear from overtaking us. I want to point you to an event in the life of Jesus and His disciples. I think it gives us some much-needed truth about fear. And if you have a Bible and you want to reference Matthew chapter 8, I want to encourage you to do that. This event we're going to talk about is described for us in Matthew chapter 8, and it's described for us in Mark chapter 4. Matthew describing it, of course, in his gospel, and Mark writing the account of what Peter remembered about this event. Here's what Matthew says. He says, Jesus gets into a boat, verse 23, and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves that were breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Then the disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Lord, save us! We're going to drown! And Jesus responded, Why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves. And it says, suddenly, there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. They said, Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Friends, as we think about fighting for control and not being controlled by fear, I want you to notice some truth that bubbles to the surface in this event from the life of Jesus and the disciples. And I am so intrigued by the second sentence of Matthew's description about this event. The first sentence, he says that Jesus gets into the boat and starts going across the lake with the disciples. And then he says, suddenly, a fierce storm strikes the lake and the waves begin breaking into the boat. Mark adds the additional description that the boat began to fill with water. Now, wouldn't we hope for a little more chipper description of following Jesus that day? Wouldn't it have been nice if there would have been a happier consequence for the disciples doing what Jesus asked them to do? I mean, in our Christian thought process, it would have been nice if when they followed Jesus into a boat, there wouldn't have been a rainbow that would have appeared on the horizon. The sea as calm as glass, seagulls floating around the boat chirping a worship song, and maybe a delicious platter of surf and turf that appears for them to enjoy on the cruise across the lake. I mean, that sounds fun, doesn't it? It would sound awesome if that were always what it was like to follow Jesus. Instead, you have a fierce storm, and you have waves crashing over the sides of the boat. Which tells you and me a very important truth. Fear-inducing moments can happen even when we are following Jesus. Fear-inducing moments can happen even when we are following Jesus. This event in the life of Jesus and the disciples, it reminds us following Jesus doesn't always feel like a dinner cruise on the Caribbean. Some days there are going to be rough seas, strong winds. Some days we are going to get wet and soaked. Some days we are going to wonder if we're going to make it across. Jesus doesn't hide the fact that His followers are going to face challenges. John wrote down Jesus' words in John 16:33. Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trouble, but you can take heart. He says you can have courage. You don't have to be ruled by fear because Jesus said, I have overcome the world. It's not the absence of storms that define Christ followers or set Christ followers apart. It's the fact that in the storm, we have a Savior who gives us peace and hope. Both Matthew and Mark tell us what Jesus was doing in the middle of this fierce storm. While the wind is howling and the waves are crashing and water is beginning to fill up the boat, Jesus is asleep. So calm that he's sleeping, Mark says, in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Meanwhile, the disciples are going nuts. They're trying to keep the boat from going under, and Mark says that they wake up Jesus shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we are drowning? Save us." It reminds you and it reminds me that storms and struggles, they highlight every fear we have. Fear becomes like this runaway freight train. And they go from immediately facing a fierce storm to, "We are going to drown." When we find ourselves in the runaway freight train of fear, we discover that not only are we seeing big issues and big challenges and big temptation and maybe big pain, but we begin to wonder if all of that is too big for God even. And fear does things like this. As it highlights every fear we have, it causes us to question Christ's character. I mean, they say to Jesus, "Do you even care about us? Come on, do you even care?" Now, friends, the most natural thought in the world when we are afraid is to call out for the people who are closest to us, the people who love us most. And if we feel like those people don't care, it's devastating to us. And fear will cause you to feel insecure about those who are closest to you, even a Christ who loves you so much that He came from heaven to earth to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. Fear always causes us to question whether we can trust God. Fear, as it runs out of control in our lives, it often turns us into control freaks. Lack of control is at the root of fear. And so we begin to grab wildly for any component of life that we can manage in a desperate attempt to feel secure and feel in control. It's interesting to me that Matthew says the disciples screamed out, "Teacher, save us," or "Lord, save us." That wasn't, "Would you please?" That wasn't a question. They were telling Jesus what to do. Because they felt out of control, they were trying to get control. And often in our lives, when we find ourselves wanting to control every little thing and controlling every other person, it's because we are so afraid that we're grasping at anything that we can get under our control. When fear begins to run away in our lives and overrun our lives, it can cause our thinking to become distorted. It messes with our memory. Think about this. The disciples had just seen Jesus do some amazing miracles. They had just heard Him speak amazing truth. But in that moment, they had forgotten that Jesus could do everything that needed to be done. And their fear caused them to have sort of a spiritual amnesia, and they were afraid and believed they were going to drown. One final thing I would say about fear causing everything to explode out of proportion in our minds is that fear can become so overwhelming and so out of control in our lives that it actually becomes paralyzing. Fear can just suck the life right out of your soul. It can cause us to just want to curl up into a corner. And fear, as it paralyzes us, fear causes us to be able to accomplish virtually nothing. Fear never wrote a symphony or a poem. It never negotiated a peace treaty. It never cured a disease. Fear never pulls a family out of poverty or a country out of bigotry. Fear never saves a business or saves a marriage or a family. Fear just sort of herds us into a prison and slams the door. And it robs us of our desire to even live and go on. But fear's a liar. Fear out of control lies to us about all of those things. Because in the middle of the storm, when fear is rampant, it's then an opportunity for Jesus to reveal himself to us. And these disciples learned that Jesus is not intimidated by the storm of our circumstances, nor is he intimidated by the storm going on inside our heart and our mind. None of that intimidates Jesus. Jesus is so calm that Scripture says he is asleep in the middle of the storm. Not because he doesn't care, but because he knows who's in control. When the disciples rouse Jesus in their fear, we're told that Jesus gets up, he speaks to the wind and the waves, and Matthew says in verse 26 of Matthew 8, he says, when Jesus exercised his authority, exercised control, there was a great calm. So the same calm that Jesus was experiencing, he extended to his followers. And you and I have the opportunity, when we really recognize who Jesus is, to give him control of our heart and of our life, and we have the privilege and the opportunity of experiencing the same calm that Jesus experienced when he was asleep in the storm. And when they saw who Jesus was, they could rest in the knowledge that he was in control. And you and I can rest in the knowledge, in the truth, that he will not abandon us. It may be stormy, it may feel like we're not going to make it, but nothing we encounter is going to overwhelm him. And in that truth, we can surrender our fear to our faith. That becomes surrendered to a God who is in control. A while back, I was on a flight from Chicago down to Houston, and the air was a little choppy that day. It was interesting that the flight attendants would get up to serve the in-flight snack and the little cup of water that you now get on Southwest Air during this COVID season. They would get up to serve that little snack and that cup of water, and because the air was choppy, they would get about two rows done, and then the pilot would come over the intercom system, and he would say, "Flight attendants, please be seated." And then things would calm down just a little bit, and they would resume their service. They'd get a couple of rows done, and then the pilot or captain would come across the intercom again, and he would say, "Flight attendants, would you please be seated?" That went on for about an hour. They were up and down. It almost got comical. And finally, the pilot could realize that things were going to be that way for a period of time, and he also knew people were getting a little nervous, because the air was pretty choppy. It was a pretty bumpy ride. And the pilot came on the intercom, and he simply said this, "Flight attendants, please be seated for the remainder of the flight. Everyone, please remain seated while your seatbelt is fastened. Relax and enjoy the remainder of the flight. We will be in Houston shortly." Now, when the pilot, in that calm and yet confident voice, made that statement, he let everybody know, "I'm in control here. Yep, the air is a little bumpy, but I know how to pilot this plane. So just sit back and relax. I've got this. We're going to make it to where we are headed. We're going to make it to our destination." I think during turbulent times, if we listen, we hear our Savior speaking that same kind of word to us. You might be experiencing a bumpy ride. Just remain seated. I've got this. I'm in control. I know how to help you navigate your way through life, and you are going to make it to your destination. Just relax, know that I'm in control, and surrender your fear to me. So the obvious question for me is, How do we do this? How do we actually give Jesus control? How do we do that? Well, I want to point you to a verse of Scripture from the Apostle Paul that I think summarizes this in a powerful way. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul writes these words, and it is our answer to the question, how do we give control to Jesus? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul says, "Dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think on these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, and then the God of peace will be with you." A little bit later in that section of Scripture, down in verse 11, Paul says, "I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything." He says, "I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Paul says, focus your thoughts on Christ who gives you strength. That's the secret. That's how you keep control of your heart and your mind and let Jesus be the guiding force. That's how you keep from letting fear overrun your soul. You focus your thoughts and your minds on those things that are true, that are honorable, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable, all of those things that encourage you and build your faith, all of those things that focus you on the truth of Jesus. Those things are what will help you live in a world that might be filled with fear, but you don't have to let that fear fill your heart. Friends, what would it take for you to be able to focus your thoughts more fully, more completely on Christ? I know that as you do that, as I do that, that you and I, we can let Christ be in control and we can make sure our fear is surrendered to our faith. And we can face pandemics and viruses and all of the other issues that are a challenge in our world today. We can face them with a calm confidence because we know that Jesus is guiding the ship. Jesus is with us in the storm, and Jesus offers us His calm in our lives. As we think about this truth and as we just kind of let it settle into our hearts, think about how to apply it to our lives, we want to invite you to join us in singing a great song that just reminds us that we do not have to be a slave to fear. Would you join us in this song? Would you join me in prayer? God, we are so grateful that you have made it possible for us to live in this world without being overwhelmed by fear. We know that there are lots of situations that are out of our control, and sometimes that brings a lot of uncertainty and frustration, and it can cause fear in our lives. But God, I pray that you would help us to be able to surrender our fears to you. And you know how to help us stay in control and allow you to be able to guide us and direct us through the uncertainties of this time. Father, I pray that we would find the freedom to live joyfully and peacefully with you during these days of our lives. And I pray for all of the folks who are a part of our time together today, that they would experience the peace and calm that you offer us today. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.